It is not God's desire or will for us to merely survive. Let me say that again. It is not God's desire or will for us to just merely survive. God desires that we would thrive. Thrive as individuals in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and thrive as a church in living out our mission and bringing others to know the saving, life-giving love of Jesus. Thriving individuals, or individuals who thrive in our faith, build thriving churches. Amen? When we feel we are languishing, the church in turn languishes. And it's all about mindset. At least it begins there. So in this season of transition and change in the life of our church, we are studying what it means to thrive, both in our individual relationship with God and as a church. Thriving begins with clarity, we learned a couple of weeks ago, getting clear about what we are to do and how we are to be. Here at our church, we glorify God and make disciples who transform lives and communities by putting God's love into action. That is our mission. And that mission overlays everything that we do. Every decision that we make is run through the filter of our mission. And is it accomplishing the mission that is set before us or not? And if not, how do we recalibrate so that we can accomplish this more fully? Each and every one of us should strive to accomplish the mission that God has given us together. We talked about how witness precedes work and how faith looks back to move forward. Sometimes when we're standing at a threshold moment and we're faced with something new and unknown, it's tempting to lose our faith, to see it falter. And so we can look back and trust that the God who has been with us all the way will continue to be with us as we step into a future yet to be determined. The God who is to come. And so we can trust that as we move forward into the unknown, that God is with us and within us and is indeed leading us. Well, today we turn to the third practice on abundance. Abundance calls us to realize that God has given us everything we need to live out the calling that God has placed upon our lives. Sometimes it might not feel like that. Sometimes we have wants that are unable to be fulfilled, at least in an immediate sort of way. Sometimes we feel we lack what we need, and yet the principle still holds true that God provides everything we need in abundance to live out the calling that God has placed upon our lives. It's the same as a church. We have everything and everyone we need to live out the mission that God has placed before us. But we've got to shift our mindset from that of scarcity or lack to abundance. A scarcity mindset, in my view, is rooted in unfulfilled dreams, in vision not yet accomplished, in things that we wish were but are not yet. And we look at all that we lack. In those moments, I invite you to look around. Look at everything that God has given. Look at the people that God has placed in your path. Look at all that you've been entrusted with. When I look at our church, I see abundance. You all are amazing. Your faith is incredible. Together over generations, we have built properties and facilities and faith and used what God has gathered as a tool for sharing the gospel more broadly in our city and across the globe. And God is not done with us yet in this season of recalibration and of rebuilding. But we forget in times of uncertainty that we need to freely give what we have freely received. When there's a time of perceived scarcity, we tend to hold on to what we've been given rather than sharing it. This was the situation that Nehemiah encountered in Jerusalem. These conditions had been present even before Nehemiah showed up with the word and the resources to rebuild the wall and the spirit of the city and of the nation, but it didn't rise to the surface before the building project began. times of change in the life of the church surface all kinds of things, just as all kinds of things were surfaced in the rebuilding project in Jerusalem. But I want to share a story with you that brings to life the antidote to everything. There was once an old woman named Miriam that lived in a village that once at its center had a well that was filled with water but had dried up. And the community had begun languishing as a result of the lack of water. There were those with resources who could bring in water from somewhere else and had an abundance of food. And there were those who lived impoverished and were taken advantage of by those with means. But Miriam, an elderly woman, would go every day to the well because she remembered what was. Even when people saw the well as a vestige of the past, almost a cruel joke in the middle of the city, as a sign of something that was but was not, and they lacked faith to believe it could be again. And so Miriam would dip her bucket into the well and pull it up dry. She did this day after day after day, and the people of the village laughed at her. "What a foolish woman," they would say, thinking that she's going to bring up water from a dry well. Then Miriam did something surprising. She began to dump some of her own water from her canteen into the well. And people thought, this is foolishness. This woman is sharing what little she's been given and throwing it away. But day after day, she took a portion of the water that she had rationed for herself and poured it into the well. Time went by, and others who felt their lives languishing began to follow suit. Those who were worried that there would be enough for their own children or grandchildren, or even for themselves, would pour a little bit of the water that they had into the well. And as more and more people began to do this, folks began to open up their hearts, began to share their grain and their food at the well. They began to eat together. They began to share their resources. And soon the community was flourishing once again. It wasn't about pouring water into the well. It was about restoring the heart of a community to share what each had been hoarding so that life abundant could be known by all. Nehemiah uncovered a situation in his community that he didn't know existed before he heard the great cry of the people. These are people who were working hard to rebuild the wall rather than tending to their fields and their own households in order to bring security and prosperity back to the community in which they all shared. There were four groups: a group of people who owned no land but were hungry in a time of famine, a second group of landowners who had mortgaged their property in order to buy food, a third group who complained because taxes were too high and they were forced to borrow money to pay them, and a fourth group of wealthy persons who were exploiting their own kin by loaning their money and taking their lands and children for collateral. Nehemiah got wind of what was going on, and he gathered the people together to help them find within them a new heart. It was really interesting that Nehemiah, when you read the text, searched his own soul before seeking to solve the problem, bringing his head and his heart together to figure out what is the root of this exploitation that's going on. And he realized the root was spiritual. It was this fear of not having enough that led people that had some to collect even more at the expense of their own kinfolk, their own brothers and sisters and cousins, their own nation. And so Nehemiah called them together and said, "Look, what you're doing is not right. Sure, God in his word allows for the loaning of money, but he says not to take advantage of one another in the process, not to charge interest to your own kin. And what is it that you're doing? We're trying to rebuild in the present moment toward a bright future. We're supposed to be a light that draws all people to God. And yet, what do the other nations around us who now are challenged because of the work that we're doing see? They see us destroying one another from within and taking advantage of each other. That shouldn't be." And so Nehemiah begins to lead them toward a new heart, You need to give back everything that you have taken. And if you have loaned money to anyone with interest, give back what you've exploited. Make sure people have access to their homes and their fields and their vineyards, because one day this wall will be rebuilt and we want to be a vibrant community once again. But we can't start off behind because you've taken advantage of one another. In other words, as the great hymn says, freely you have received, freely give. Well, the people, well, they repented of what they had done, and they promised to give everything back and to live differently. And all of God's people said, amen, a sure and certain sign of the hope that they had and what could be if they all truly shared what they had and worked together to build the kind of community that God was calling them to build. Nehemiah embraced this mindset in his own life. When you read the text, he didn't use the money that was given to him as governor for himself. He used it to provide food for a multitude of people. Nehemiah says in the text that there were evenings where he had up to 150 people gathered around his table sharing the food that he had available. Right? Abundance. When people no longer hunger, when they no longer have to worry where their next meal is going to come from, when they realize that together, God's given them enough for everyone, the whole spirit changes. And it did there as well, in Jerusalem, because the people felt reinvigorated to build. It wasn't about the wall. It was about rebuilding a community with God at its center, a community that trusts in God to provide everything needed in abundance, so that there's an overflow to share with those around who are in need. The story of Miriam reminds us it's not about pouring water into a dusty well. It's about reviving the heart of a community to share with each other once again, to build a common community that is centered around one purpose. Here at First Methodist Houston, our purpose is our mission. We want to help lead others to Jesus. I know that we're asking you to change some of what you've held dear for so long, but we're also asking you to do it together. We need each other. We are the church together, and all of us, each and every one of you, belong here. I'm so glad to be a part of this work of rebuilding the heart of our church, to reestablishing our mission, to regaining our strength. God has done so much through each and every one of you and the generations who have come before us. I can't wait to see what God has in store for us in the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.